Today is the day to wake, work, and win. Welcome to The Standard. Here we go.
Here we go. All right. This is coming from the sewer. Come into a sewer near you.
You know, we were talking about last shift, maybe, about the communities that live in sewers or like make their way through the underground, you know, waste pipes or whatever you want to call it throughout the city. And, you know, there was some guy we were talking about in New York system, old subway, abandoned subway they don't use anymore because the trains have gotten bigger or whatnot. And, you know, had like power, had a computer, had a printer. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, we had a guy, I remember, living in our sewer in our city and kept going on smoke investigations. They didn't know where it was coming from.
Dude's chilly down there, man.
That's a source of heat.
I would much rather them living in the sewer than the tent cities that are popping up.
Well.
But anyways,
yes,
that's a whole separate situation.
Yes.
This is about poop. We talked about poop maybe on the last one. I think I might have a...
I'm beginning to think there's a problem with you.
Well, problem for some, you know?
I shouldn't say I'm beginning to think. There is problem.
All right. It's a relatively new type of snooping. They call it poop snooping. Could help us all react more quickly to the new variants of COVID-causing coronaviruses or future pandemics. Over the past year, as people stopped making appointments with healthcare providers to check for COVID and shifted to taking home tests instead, health officials lost their tight grip on case tallies. And in turn, it became tougher to spot new viral variants or wave of the pandemic. Thankfully, epidemiologists had a solution in poop. September 2020, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention established the National Wastewater Surveillance System. It's a fun job. With the goal of collecting and testing local levels of the virus that cause COVID at treatment plants across the country. So basically, the CDC was like, you know what? We need to get scientists up in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle style.
We got this new committee.
Yeah.
And we need you to head it.
Yeah.
So it's called poop snooping.
So just a question. How much would it take? Like how much money would it take for you to go down into the sewers with a little beaker and start getting that?
What if I could just subcontract that job out?
No.
What if I find some convict that, remember like in Boulder, this was a few years back. This is bordering on, you know, this is a felony. Yeah, but he hid in the porta potty so he could get his views.
Yo, did that? I think like Chuck
porta potty.
Chuck Berry was into that.
Wow.
Singer.
So, I could subcontract. All I could right, take now, the contract and subcontract.
This isn't
out.
This isn't how do you make this? How do you make this profitable? I mean, how much would you have to get paid to do that?
What's the job description?
We're male seeking male looking to go down into sewer.
Male seeking male
in lab coat.
I got to go into the sewer.
Into the sewer
and scoop up poop.
Correct.
How much?
That's what I'm asking.
A bucket.
Oh, does it matter?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if I got to get a little flask or whatever.
You're still standing.
I'm in rubber boots.
You can wear whatever you want, buddy.
Okay. that stuff, we've talked about this. That stuff, I mean, yes, it is shit. But, I mean, I've cleaned out. One time at one of my homes, I had to clean out a grease trap that hadn't been touched in years. I mean, 50 years. And I got through it. But it was grease and not pee and poop.
Not fessies. This episode is brought to you by us. More importantly, our Patreon. And most importantly, our Patreon members. If you like what you're hearing, think about joining us. Head on over to the-standard.us. And for as little as $3 a month, you can get extra episodes, discounts on gear, monthly conference calls. So head on over to our site at the-standard.us. And remember to always like and subscribe. Back to the show. So how much?
Okay, sorry. I need to answer the question. So I do this one time, or this is my annual, this is my job. I do once a week, and I'm going to do this for a year.
Once a week. This is your
job. I got to go into the sewer and just
scoop it up.
Scoop it out.
Find a turd.
That's all I got to do.
That's it, man.
I do it for what I'm making now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's once a week, man. You know how much free time I got?
I guess, dude. I don't know. That's a lot. That'd be a lot. So we went to, we were doing a training, confined space training for the water department. And we were going to train in one of their lift stations that was not currently used. So basically, the lift stations will get all of everything, and like raw sewage.
It. They pump it.
And they pump it to get
the main place to get cleaned.
Correct. So, you know, I'm there first thing in the morning, and we're looking at places to train, and they open up these like bomb bay doors, and I get maybe like 6 feet away, and I'm like almost on the ground. Like, it was the most unbelievable smell, and these guys are smoking and joking right around the hole, like no problem. And I'm like, do you guys smell that? And they're like, yeah, it smells like money. And I'm like, oh God.
That's great.
I guess, man. So anyways, unbeknownst to you, there are scientists looking at your poop to find the next virus. Nothing's safe anymore. Nothing's sacred.
I think that ship sailed.
How many bowel movements do you think is an appropriate amount?
Per day?
Per day. Let's do per week.
One a day?
Okay. So a large recent study of 5,000 people reported normal bowel patterns. It was found that 95% of the people move their bowels between 3 and 21 times a week.
So 3 times a day is the max?
Yeah.
You're either eating way too much or you're an extremely nervous person.
3 times a day, you're every time, regardless of our workout, the second...
Get some really soft toilet paper.
The second it goes up on the board... You go to the bathroom. It's unreal. It's like clockwork. Less than 40% of the people say they poop once a day.
Yeah, I think maybe once a day. Maybe, probably.
3 times seems like a lot.
It seems like a hassle.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I never understand the guys that say like they're driving a car down the road and all of a sudden it comes on, it hits them, and it's like they can't do anything and they've shit their pants in the car.
We've talked a lot at work that there are two types of people.
I don't get that.
There are two types of people. The people who have shit themselves and liars.
Yeah. Well, I've never shit myself.
No, same. But I...
Call me a liar?
We've had some people on our crew that, I mean, they go through a serious amount of underwear.
I don't get it. I
don't know. I don't understand either. But then you look at their diet and they've eaten, you know, 3 pounds of meat at a meal.
Like a food challenge every night.
Correct.
Well,
so teach their own, man. All right. We're heading over to New Jersey. Man caught on video urinating on ex-wife's grave almost every morning.
Damn, that is...
So, just wait.
I want to know what you did.
Just wait. I like how you immediately go to that it's her fault.
No, I just want to know what you did. I mean, maybe it was nothing.
Okay. But
to put him in that state where he goes to the cemetery... Every single day. I mean,
I think you're going to kick yourself in the ass once I tell you.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's. Go ahead.
Maybe
the cemetery is not watered and he wants the grass to go around it.
I don't think that's the case. Man in New Jersey is accused of habitually urinating on ex-wife's grave, according to media reports. The purported desecration occurred at the Tappan Reformed Church Cemetery, a centuries-old burial ground between New Jersey and New York. Michael Murray told 12 News that the saga began when he reportedly began to notice deli bags full of crap placed near the grave of his mother, Linda, and he contacted police. Officials.
So, not only urinating,
bags of poop,
defecating,
human feces. Officials took a report of the incident, and Murray later obtained permission to place cameras on the cemetery grounds. The footage was poor quality to bring police, but basically, this guy's son went out and took like video footage of not only his this man, but his now current wife. So the 68-year-old man visited the cemetery almost every morning between 6:14 and 6:18 a.m. with his current wife and urinated on Torello's grave.
This okay. And how long did this go on for?
They don't know.
Long time. Okay.
So much so that it was almost every morning at this specific time.
All right.
That this guy and his current wife.
And the wife just stood there?
Yeah. So it turns out this dude was mad at his ex-wife because she had a son, the guy who's reporting this, and said that that is not my kid. DNA test proves that it was his kid.
So she's just figuring this out?
Well, the son just figured it out. But this guy, so now this guy's looking at his dad piss on the grave of his ex-wife. The dad is the one peeing.
Because
he was mad that she basically, like, he still believes that that is not his kid, even though DNA tests proved it was. So he's, like, calling this dead lady a liar, even though it's true. This is actually...
Oh, so she's saying it's your kid. He's still denying it.
Correct. And
that's your response?
Well, there's a lot going on.
Is grave every day?
There's a lot to unpack here. First of all, that dude's out of his fucking gourd. Second of all, his current wife is, like, totally down.
Hey, it's time to get up.
Yeah, hey, it's 6 o'clock. We got to go over. Got to get over to the graveyard.
Morning walk.
Yeah, hey, I got a ripe dump. I got to run over to the graveyard.
Turn around. I got some business to take care of.
Yeah, I mean, what an epic piece of shit.
It's taking too much of your day. One, it's taking too much of your day.
Right.
Two, as the current wife, like, can we move on, please?
Well, it's like, how would you feel if your wife thought about one of her exes every day?
Every day he wakes up.
And wants to go visit him.
All right.
It's pretty fucked up, right? I got public urination was his, like, charge, basically. So, how much do you think the fine is for public urination?
$999.
Oh, really? Just under a GER, huh?
I think the misdemeanor.
Depending on the jurisdiction, and I looked them all up, somewhere between $100 and $500.
All right.
That's your public.
You know, that can hurt your pocketbook when you're in college, because that seems to be where a lot of public urination happens.
Yeah, and if you're close to a park when you do it, they can get you.
Ooh,
Yeah, you become a sex.
I think that happens a lot.
I know it happens. Not personally, but there. NPR did one on.
But I mean, was there some sort of wake up call to it though, where they're like, "All right, we understand the law is written this way." Dude pulls out, urinates, but clearly not a sex offender.
Yeah, man, I think that's up to the judge, right? Like, hey, it was 10 o'clock at night. There were no kids around, but technically,
I had a beer in my hand.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many divorces would you say there are a year in the United States?
50%.
Well, okay.
54%.
But of what?
What do you mean? Oh, you want a number?
Yeah.
500,000. I don't know.
Pretty close.
Okay.
So there's currently over 750,000 divorces in the U.S. each year.
Okay.
Most Americans who file for divorce do so between January and March. Why do you think that is?
They go into too much debt.
Why?
Christmas holiday.
Oh, okay. I think it's because they spend too much time together.
Over the holidays?
Yeah, like you have a full, like, 2 months.
I'm not going through the holidays again with you.
Not one more time.
No.
And, like, you know, you want to be single for the summer.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Mm. Maybe somebody made some New Year's goals, resolutions, and the other one didn't follow it. You know,
are you a New Year's resolution guy?
No. Are you?
Yeah, I like them.
So what was this year's?
Oh, I wanted to learn how to do the splits.
I will say that I don't know if it was New Year's this year, but I did set a goal this year, you know, like to get on land.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time where I'm like, this year it has to happen. I don't know if that's really a resolution, but.
I think that's a resolution.
Yeah.
And you completed it.
Made it happen, but not usually like that. Okay, it's December 31st. Let's think about. You know, what we're going to change, what not.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting opportunity for you to take some stock. And to be like, all right, where am I at? Where do I want to be? You know, mostly New Year's resolutions are jokes, but I don't know. I'm on
yearly board. Goals. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
I'm especially on board. As like a team or a family.
Yeah. 1.68 million marriages every year in the United States.
So 1.68 are happening, and roughly half, just under half of that, are also divorcing.
Correct.
So a net gain every year?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long do you think it takes poop to decompose?
What? I thought we were done with that story.
No, we're not. There's a poop thing, like I said.
Well, what kind of poop? Because I know that in the pasture, the horse poop goes, man poop, ooh, that sticks around a long time.
How long does horse poop stick around?
Well, it's mainly grass and water, and it like dries up so fast.
So how long would you?
I got to think if you had weather come in and rain, like a month, I don't know.
Oh, shit. Like, okay.
It dries out. It like loses all its weight because the water dries out. There's a lot of water in it.
Look at you. You're like a farmer now.
Well, when you have to, you know, that's where the dog decides he wants to go now. So it's like, I'm just going to roam in this acre pasture and shit wherever I want. So I have to chase that around. But it's way different picking up dog poop than, you know, you see the horse shit out there every once in a while. And you're like, oh, this is very, almost gone.
I'm telling you, man, you're like a whole different person now. It's Farmer Tom. Mm. 1 year. It takes 1 year for human poop to decompose in the wild.
Okay.
Have you ever done anything so catty as to urinate? I'm not saying, like, what is the cattiest thing you've ever done? Like the lowest dig.
What do you mean? Like,
well, like this guy clearly went super
against another person.
I'll take anything.
I mean, I had some boredom years in high school where we went out and
like vandalism,
like tipped a porta potty over.
Well, that's lowbrow, dude.
So you're saying that's nothing?
I don't think so.
No. May have hit a mailbox or two.
Sure. Like from a car?
Maybe. Not like, I mean, hanging out a car.
Right. Well, you're a baseball player.
But then there was.
Did you wear your uniform?
Then there was.
Don't you guys wear tights?
No, then just stop. Yeah, you didn't even play sports. But then there was one time where kid was hanging out the window and this guy had put a big mailbox, right? And he had put this rebar inside the mailbox. That was like an H shape.
Assholes like you.
The letter H. And so it was running like across the middle of the mailbox and then front to back. Takes a swing. Bing! Comes back. Bat hits him in the head.
Ooh. You know what? That's instant karma. You know what I find really interesting about that story is your old mailbox had like a cage around it.
So that's true. And the neighbors too.
Is that because you were
I didn't hit that mailbox before. You know, that was your...
Well, no, obviously. But what I'm saying is, were you like, hey, I know there's some kids out there. They're shitty as me.
Well, I thought, I'll be good. It's like, well, my mailbox is not going to get hit. It's going to be the next guy's, you know. Smart. I don't even know if kids do that anymore.
I did it.
Yeah, but do they do it anymore?
I'm sure.
One
guy had a fish mailbox, like how you have a John Deere one. Yeah. This guy had like a nice fish one.
I do think that it... having that mailbox that kind of sets you apart from everybody else makes you a target.
Yes.
Like that John Deere mailbox sits in front of my house, but it's actually not mine.
Oh, really?
I think just the community I live in, it'll be fine. But
I've been putting a lot of weird stuff in there.
If that was in a like a normal suburban community.
Gone.
Gone,
dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're done with that one now.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to head down to Memphis, Tennessee. Half naked.
Have you been to Memphis?
I have driven through Beale Street's Memphis.
Pretty cool.
It's a shithole.
I thought Beale Street was all right.
They're starting to bring it around, but it's not like
2005 though.
Yeah, it's not like Detroit, but
it's not like Nashville.
Well, you know, no, but Memphis is a tough spot.
Oh, you're talking as far as the hood.
Yeah, there's a rough.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's a rough situation going on there. All right. Half naked woman celebrating her birthday fires shots out of a car window.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis police arrested a woman on Monday who they say fired shots out of an open car window. while half naked to celebrate her birthday. An officer driving southbound.
Okay, which half?
I'm guessing topside. I don't think it was a Winnie the Pooh situation.
Winnie the Pooh.
An officer driving southbound on South Dandy Thomas Boulevard Monday afternoon said he saw a woman in a white Hyundai Elantra traveling northbound, pointing a
black... Why half naked? Why not just topless? That, isn't that a topless woman driving? I mean, that seems like the term half naked. That's
what got me.
Gotcha. Hooked you.
Yeah, hooked me. Pointed a black gun out the passenger side window and fired two shots at a quote unknown object. The affidavit reads that the gun was discharged, quote, on the main roadway through downtown that was well populated with business and residential housing, end quote. After backup was called, officers arrested 23-year-old Kiera Welch and located a Glock 17 in the passenger's side floorboard. Police also found a clear plastic bag containing what appeared to be marijuana. Welch told police the weed belonged to her and she was just turning up for her birthday.
All right.
Yeah, nice. Which was August, almost a month ago, prior to the shooting.
Oh, it's birthday month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's birthday month.
She told officers she drank at least 4 alcoholic beverages and was clearly intoxicated. What was the lowest amount of, like when we go on a call and they're clearly like shit-faced drunk, what is the lowest amount of beers that someone's told you?
I mean, it's always like, yeah, I had a drink.
Yeah, like what? I had one beer.
Yeah, I have the drink, and you look over, and it's, you know, it's the handle.
$7.50
That's, you know, got one shot left in it.
They're not wrong, man. The affidavit said that she was halfway undressed and was smiling and laughing the entire time.
Happy fucking birthday, man!
I'll throw up her mugshot, but she is like grinning from ear to ear. She's so happy.
Love it.
So yeah, Welch was charged with possession of a handgun while intoxicated, reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon, and possession of the sweet sticky.
That is not a good birthday present.
No. I think people don't realize how deadly firing a firearm straight up into the air is.
All right.
Something less than a .22 caliber is not deadly when shot in the air, but any other caliber.
What caliber is a 17? Is that 40? Is it a...
It might be a 9. I'd have to look.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, those do come down.
Okay, so let's educate me. So, fires up into the air, and you're saying it could come down and has the force to kill somebody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like when you see those, like...
The trajectory stays, like, tight? The spin stays tight?
No, I mean, you don't have to have any trajectory on it. It's that weight reaching its maximum velocity is definitely enough to go through someone's dome piece.
So... It would basically, for it to start falling, wouldn't it need to reach basically a zero, like it reaches a pause.
Yeah, for sure.
And then starts falling.
Correct.
So I guess any object has the potential to do what that is. It's dropped, right? It's not necessarily, I mean, you're just placing an object up in the air. You're not.
Well, it's like.
Go ahead.
Well, it's like dropping something from
a roof or something like a high rise.
Right.
Okay. So if I took a bullet and dropped it from a 55 story building, that would be the same as if.
No, that is a fire from a gun? No.
Okay.
But like here it says
I'm saying it, let's just say that gun fired up, it's going to go higher, but let's say the gun fired up from the ground and reached that point where it came back down at 55 floors up, wouldn't that be the same?
It says it will come back down at roughly 150 miles an hour.
Wasn't there that formula of like 9 meters?
Yeah, that's terminal velocity. 9.8
meters per second?
Yeah, that's gravity basically.
150, okay.
So
150 mile per hour bullet that's tiny like this with some density is going to puncture something.
Correct.
Okay. So if it were bigger than, oh man, all right.
It's got the energy of a brick drop from a 30-story building.
God damn.
Yeah, that's an AK-47.
Oh, okay.
Well, it does, I mean, that's that we're talking about the, just the size of the round.
Okay. All right. Well.
So, yeah, man, that's enough to really.
I'm not sure I quite understand the whole math and physics behind it. I buy it. I don't understand it, but it's enough to make me not fire a gun in the air.
It's not for me, man.
Right.
It's not for me. I'll leave it to those Afghani weddings where they just point their rounds up in the air.
What about an arrow? What about an arrow straight up in the air? That could do some serious damage, depending on the tip. That's got to be roughly the same, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all weight.
Yeah.
So I guess it would depend. I mean, you have the addition if you're using like a broadhead as opposed to a field point, but it's not good.
Not good, yeah.
Yeah, not good. Buffalo, New York. Firefighter.
One more?
What?
How many more?
Last one, but this one's kind of long.
All right.
You got time?
I'm good. Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. I'll make it quick.
You're wearing me out, but I'm good.
You want to save this one later?
No. I want it. Let's go.
All right. Buffalo, New York. Firefighter fired for testing positive for medical marijuana.
Here we go.
Can proceed with lawsuit to get his job back. So a Buffalo firefighter fired over his medical marijuana use can proceed with his legal action to get his job back. A state judge ruled Thursday, but the judge declined to immediately reinstate him as he requested. So, Martin, a 12-year veteran with the Buffalo Fire Department, was fired from his job last year because he tested positive for marijuana. At 38 years old, who served in the Air Force, in Iraq, and Afghanistan, said that he is a certified medical marijuana patient who uses cannabis to treat PTSD and back pain. To treat his back pain, doctors had prescribed him medications like Oxycontin and later shots of Tramadol into his lower spine. And he was saying that, imagine getting an epidural every 3 to 4 months is basically this Tramadol shot. I don't get injections anymore because of the medical marijuana, and I'm not on opiates anymore, which are all good things. The city fired him after a urine sample tested positive for marijuana metabolites based on the Firefighters Union collective bargaining agreement. That, however, has not been updated since medical marijuana was legalized in 2014. So basically,
it hasn't been updated?
Correct.
Yeah.
So
he's getting his job back.
Well, attorney Michael Rissman, who was retained by the city, basically says a firefighter who doesn't like a policy can't just change it. I disagree. If a policy is no longer valid, it should be changed.
I disagree.
You're saying that, hey, it's not written in stone. Reisman also told the judge that Martin does not seem medically fit to be a firefighter again. A physically demanding job requiring carrying victims out of house fires, lifting hoses, driving large trucks. Rissman cited the pension Martin now receives from the Veterans Administration. The only way to get such a pension is to be 65 years old or permanently disabled. And so
I don't think that's going to go over well in a lawyer.
No,
I don't think that's going to go well.
No, this dude, I looked him up. Dude looks like a real piece of shit. And so he goes on to say, I don't think anyone thinks he should be able to return to work. This guy's been a contributing member, not only to the armed forces, but the Buffalo Fire Department for over a decade with like no other discipline or no other like inability to do his job. You can't be making statements like
that. I don't know the specifics of everything, right? There's always so much to every story, right? You don't know. I'm not going to speak on that. But I will say that it appears another example of you're just a number.
Well,
talk about retaining employees and talk about, you know, building a culture of family. When you work for most city departments, bigger cities, you're just a number.
Yeah, I mean, he had no other issues. He never used it on duty. He said that he would use it sometimes like the night previous to work, and he was never impaired. So how is that? So this is what the way I read this. This lawyer thinks it's better for him to be taking opioids all the time than it is.
I don't even care what this lawyer thinks. This lawyer is being paid by the city and he's taking a side based on getting money to take a side.
Right, but it's so important what he thinks, because what happens to this could affect a lot of other people.
True, but what he's saying is, I mean, any sane person can see that that's just a lawyer arguing a side for the sake of arguing a side. Like, common sense. I he's going to get his job back, or he's going to get paid.
I hope so. I hope that
happens. And maybe he should, get paid and go on his way. Be like, fine. Take a pension here, a pension there, back pay.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he changes things for, like, because I was looking this up. I was looking up other stories. This has happened a lot. And I think the argument of, we have these long-lasting issues of, you know, not only like physical pain, but, you know, PTSD and other depression, things like that, that are normally dealt with alcohol. I mean, that has been the, you know, the soup du jour of the fire service is to, hey, when you get off in the morning, let's go to the bar and, like, hey, we'll figure this thing out. Like,
right.
That's not healthy either. Or coming into work smelling like a brewery because you got after it the night before. That's totally fine. And I think that is almost glorified in some circumstances. Like, oh, that dude's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he's cool. And people are totally okay with that. Yet this person was not doing it recreationally. He had a medical marijuana. I mean, they're cards here in Colorado, but, you know, he was using it as a substitute for much harsher drugs. I mean, how many people do you think die of opioid overdoses in the U.S.? Well, let's say last year. Or sorry, 2020.
I don't even know where to start to guess, but I mean, just it's becoming rampant now. I'm seeing more in the fentanyl.
70,000 people died of opioid overdoses.
Last year?
2020. That was the last time I could find data on it. But
I'm sure it's increasing.
Yeah. And it's creating, let's take the deaths away, it's creating addicts every day. And so this guy is trying to find a way to deal with the repercussions of serving our country and this department and this lawyer's going after him. You know, I mean, 39 states have medical waivers and 19 states are completely legal.
All right. So are there any departments that have come out and publicly said, yeah, like, are you won't get in trouble, you can use this?
So their big thing is the testing. So if you show up at work drunk, they can do a breathalyzer to prove that you are, right? The testing for how intoxicated you are from THC is not as accurate.
Because it stuff stays in your system for so long.
Yeah.
And what determines whether you're impaired or not?
Well, that's
what level.
That's where, so as of right now, five like milliunits, I think they are. That is when, like, let's say you get caught driving and you're under the influence and you do either a urine test or a blood test. They can see how many of these milliunits that you have in your system. So somewhere between or under five is basically. So they have a way to test you, but I think it's not as convenient as, hey, let's just have you do a breathalyzer to see if you're still intoxicated. And that seems to be the sticking point for a lot of departments. And the, you know, if you are federally funded, you can't have a policy. There are departments that allow you to have THC in your system at certain units, some here in Colorado, actually. And I don't know. It seems like if you are impaired is impaired, regardless of what you're using or what you're on. I think it's safe to say that it is way more dangerous to have opioids in your system than it is to have, you know, something else. If you want easy ways to retain people, this seems like a no-brainer to me.
Oh, yeah, it seems like exact opposite, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what the lawyer's quoted as saying is just a basic kick in the nuts to the guy's mental health. Like, fuck you.
Totally.
You know, like, you don't even deserve to be here. You're damaged goods. You know, like, you're not even fit for duty. It's like, what has this guy done in his life? I mean.
To deserve that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I completely agree. I'm interested to see how this stuff shakes out. And, you know, this is a new kind of a new frontier for everybody. But I hope that I hope this guy gets his job back and kind of sets the tone for everybody else.